This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, good evening, everyone. We're doing something a little bit different today. I'm doing this live, so you'll get to really see if I mess up or not. But what can I say, just to start off with? Just an absolutely amazing feeling. It really, really is. It seems like everything is now secure for Championship football next season. So let's get right into it as we normally do. And then if there's some questions and stuff in the chat, we'll do some questions at the end. But as I'm sure all of you are after watching what was a very poor game of football, who cares? We're safe. That's all that matters. And we move on to Championship football next season. So I'm going to start from the very beginning, just like I normally do. So it's just finished at the Stadium of Light. Sunderland 0, Millwall 1. 53 points now achieved, 3 wins on the bounce. Super Neil Harris, he's kept us in the division now, isn't he? Surely it would take Sheffield Wednesday to make up a 19-goal swing, win all of their games, 5 other sides below us. It's we're safe. That is 100%, in my opinion, completely safe. And it's just a fantastic feeling on this Saturday evening. I'm gutted because I was meant to be there today. And then I found out I booked Peter Kay tickets about 18 months ago. So I'm actually at the O2 tonight to watch Peter Kay when I should be up in Newcastle with my mates celebrating a very, very famous victory for the Lions. So start as we normally do with the lineup. So 2 changes from the team that won against Cardiff. So the 2 changes were Romain Essay coming out of the starting lineup, which we thought probably would happen. I was fairly kind of confident that we wouldn't see SA start today. I didn't think I'd see Honeyman back, though. I thought his season was over, but clearly not, because Honeyman came back into the side. The other change was Billy Mitchell coming out the side. I understand he's ill, and Casper Dunor coming back into the team. So that was there were the changes. And then on the bench, obviously, it was good to have Bradders back on, I think, for the 3rd consecutive game. Mr. Nisbet on the bench for the 2nd game. The likes of Norton Cuffey on the bench. Duncan Watmore on the bench, who obviously came off to score the 3rd and final goal against Cardiff. More on him a little bit later. But the bench is looking a lot stronger. Another noticeable absentee, though, was Joe Bryan, who, I mean, I don't know. He seems to spend more time on the injury table and in coffee shops than he does on the pitch. I'm sure he's a top bloke. All the players seem to really like him. He's played at a very high level. He's obviously got a lot of quality, but I'm sure he's probably on quite a high salary. And if he can't stay fit, but I believe he's got a contract for next season. So we'll worry about that next season. So that was the team. For Sunderland, I believe they made one change with Elise coming in. A couple of old boys in their starting lineup for them. So obviously Daniel Ballard, who would go on to have an impact in the game. And Callum Stiles, who signed on loan for them in January. We were linked with him again in January, but he ended up going to Sunderland. And I can see why he went there in terms of, well, why he went there and also why they wanted him. You know, their recruitment model is basically to sign players only under the age of 25 with resale value, and half of their lineup is French. They sort of go into the French leagues and try and pick out players from that, and they also scour the lower, the sort of reserve teams of the Premier League. I do quite like their model, to be honest with you. And they are by far and away the youngest squad in the league. So they've only got an average age of 22. We're at sort of 27. We're one of the oldest teams in the league. So, you know, that was quite a mismatch. But the game kicks off, and listen, you know, chaps, I could easily wrap up the whole game in 5 minutes, because there really was not a lot of action, was there? It was a poor game, I think it's fair to say. It honestly felt like a friendly. It felt that, I mean, Sunderland fans, you tell me, but it felt like you didn't really care, if I'm honest. And for us, I think we were just saying, look, we can keep it tight, nick a point, and that's probably us safe, and see if we can counterattack, which is ultimately what we did, right? So I don't know. I think Sunderland, the final word on Sunderland, I think for me would be, I think you'll be in and around the top six next season, because I think you'll get your recruitment right in the summer. You'll clearly bring a new manager in. Mike Dodds is not going to be your manager next season. And I think as soon as that happened, your season dwindled out, mid-table finish. I think next season you'll kick on. So that's kind of where I think you'll be. But anyway, thanks for the 3 points. And Mr. Clark was quiet today. I wonder if that's because he was in Ryan Leonard's back pocket for most of the game. But anyway, so the game starts, and speaking completely honest with everyone, I missed the sort of opening 10 minutes. I was fanning around trying to sort my stream out on Millwall TV. So I missed the first 10 minutes, texted a couple of mates and said, you haven't missed anything. So nothing to report there. They have their first shot on 14 minutes. Denoor gives the ball away. Chris Rigg, I believe his name is. 16 years old, he was, or is. Took a shot on 14 minutes. They started to build a bit of pressure up. I felt that nothing was really sticking. Honeyman was giving the ball away, which was unusual for him. Was he quite fit? I'm not sure. They have a decent chance from a corner. Danny Ballard, of all people, should probably do better. With a bit of a free header. They utilised the width pretty well. Pembele and Jack Clark, decent players, firing the balls wide, trying to get balls into the box. But in reality, they didn't really create anything. The only other chance of note was on 42, where Styles was found in the box. He cut the ball back across goal. There was no one. We start to break with Ian Fleming. He beats two players really, really well. But unfortunately, Obafemi goes into the book for body checking someone. I think the thing is with Obafemi, when you're a tank like he is, I think if you body check anyone, you're going to be in trouble. So that was unfortunate. We did have one half chance, ball played into the box on 27, and Danny Ballard gets there just ahead of Michael Obafemi to put it behind for a corner. But that's all that happened in the first half. It was a real null event. It was boring, to be honest, from both sides. And I think that it was a case of, you know, where does the second half go? And I feel the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half was much of a muchness. Around 60 minutes, they make some subs. I felt they made a little bit of an impact for them. A couple of French lads that came on. They got three corners in a row around that. But then after that, they didn't really create anything. We then make two subs of our own on 67. Honeyman and Obafemi off. Probably fitness levels again, and Duncan Watmore and Tom Bradshaw come onto the field. It was after that, though, that they had their best chance of the game. So the ball comes across into the box, finds Jack Clark on the penalty spot. He shoots, and it's a super block, I believe, from Ryan Leonard. I've only seen it once, obviously, watching it kind of live on the telly, but it's a super block, I believe, by Ryan Leonard. Then we go up the end, and we score our goal. So Saville finds himself on the right-hand side. He sort of drives towards the corner of their penalty area. He then releases Ryan Longman. And Ryan Longman puts a superb ball into the box. And it wasn't his only ball that he played in that was a sort of a really good delivery throughout the game. He puts a ball into the box. And I still don't know whether Watmore got the last touch or Daniel Ballard. Either way, who cares? Goes into the roof of the net. and we're 1-0 up at the Stadium of Light. Literally 30 seconds later, Swansea take the lead at Huddersfield, and you know, the writing starts to become on the wall. I've then noted down here that in reality, after that, Sunderland didn't really create anything. The only thing that they created, which was a stupid free kick that Saville gave away in 96. And it was then, to me, that free kick epitomised Sunderland. They played it short and then blazed it over the bar. Like, I just felt with Sunderland that there was just no rush, hunger, desire. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't really give a toss, to be honest. But I just felt that Sunderland really didn't offer much. And the whole game can be summarised, like I just said there, in 5 minutes. There really wasn't many chances. I believe we only had, I think we had three shots on target the whole game. We created one clear-cut chance, according to the stats they did. And we get the rubber to green, and we win the game 1-0. Like I said, for those of you that are just tuning in, I believe mathematically, technically, we're not safe, right? Believe it or not. But we are. We are. Of course we are. We have to be. Just a massive, massive well done to Neil Harris, to all of the players that have been involved, because we have taken, right? I just want to say this. We've taken 20 points from 11 games with Neil Harris. 20 points from 11 games, which over the course of the season would be 83 points, which is easily a playoff place. So the form that Harris has managed to pick up is outstanding. 3 wins in 3, 4 clean sheets in 11. That's a second away win, obviously, after the Southampton one. It's the man deserves so much credit. Yeah, the football is boring, you know, it really is. And today's game was dross. Both sides were really, really poor. But it doesn't matter. When he came in, we were doomed, in my opinion. And all we had to do was to stay in this league. And I feel that he's done that. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. Where we go from here, where next season goes, I don't know. And I know a lot of fans still are on the edge in terms of, should he be here next year? How can you argue with it? You know, how can you really argue with the job he's done? Like, I personally believe, and I don't know this, but I think Harris would have liked to have given Romain Essay more games, would have liked to have given Brooke more time on the pitch, would have liked to have given Mayer more time on the pitch. But he ultimately also felt that he knew what he needed to do to get the results. And who can argue? He's done that. I think what would be really interesting now is with these final two games, if it is mathematical, we're obviously waiting on Rotherham, Birmingham, which is delayed because of, I believe there was an illness to a fan. So I hope everything's all right there. But if that game doesn't end up in a Birmingham win, I think mathematically we're done. And then it's a case of, okay, well, can we start to play, you know, just take the shackles off a little bit and see what this side's all about. But either way, for me, Harris has to be, I can't say you can look past him in terms of for next season. The job he's done is fantastic. He cements his place, in my opinion, as one of the top three all-time at the club. I'm 35, so, you know, I include Kitchener in that. But I just can't see how we look past him. Yeah, the style might not be very good, but we need to give him that opportunity, in my opinion. Anyway, some observations from today's game. So, by the way, I'm seeing the comments come in. It's really difficult to do this, look at my notes, and to read the comments. So I'm going to finish my spiel, and then what I'll do is I'll start looking at some of the comments, and maybe we can do some Q&A or something. This was just a random thing because I knew I couldn't go to the game. I've got till about 6 before the missus gets Aggie because we need to go to the O2. As I said, I'm seeing Peter Kay tonight, so we'll see what that's like. Couple of things I wanted to sort of note then. So I felt that one of the things I've written down here is I felt that today would be an opportunity for us to potentially take 3 points. Sunderland's home record now stands, I believe, at 10 wins and 10 losses. So they're very, and only 2 draws. So they're very much a win or lose team. So I honestly felt if we took the game to them that we could win. I think we got a bit lucky because I don't think we took the game to them at all. I think we sat back and at times, we, especially in the first half, we paid a lot of respect to them. But ultimately, who gives a toss because we got the job done. In terms of my opinion on man of the match, so I don't think anyone was outstanding today. We've won a game away from home, and I don't think it was a fantastic performance by any stretch. But if I had to pick a man of the match, and I don't, I'm waiting for the reaction of people on this. I'd give it to Ryan Longman. I really would give a man of the match to Ryan Longman. He made the goal because that ball in was superb. It's so difficult to defend, and I honestly think his overall game was really good. He put a number of dangerous balls into the box. At times, I felt we didn't capitalise on them. He did the defensive work, especially when he got switched to the right-hand side to help double up on Jack Clark or Ryan Leonard. And I think Ryan Longman was really good, and I feel like his overall performances in the last few games have warranted a man of the match. So for me personally, might not be the most popular thing, but I call it as I see it, and I would give man of the match today to Ryan Longman. A couple of noticeable runners-up were Danny Mack. In actual fact, I've just seen a comment from Love in Life. Also says Danny Mack. Agree, I think Danny Mack had a very good game defensively. My only concern with him is he just doesn't offer anything going forwards on that left-hand side because he's so one-footed. I'm not criticising him. At the end of the day, he's playing out of position. But for that reason, what happens is when we get forward, he slows the game down and he turns back on his right foot. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you watch it, he won't ever try and go around the outside of someone because A, he's not very quick, and B, he's got no left foot. Defensively, he's excellent. And that is what Harris has done. And he deserves a lot of credit for this. In my opinion, Harris has picked the best two one-on-one defenders we have at the club, and he's put them at the two places that he thinks he can stop the opposition playing the most. And that's at the fullbacks. So Danny Mack, Ryan Leonard, superb defensive work today. I do want to give a shout out to Danny Mack. I gave him man of the match in my last game. But for me, Ryan Longman edged it. The other one that I also want to call out, I thought had a pretty good game overall. I felt that he didn't really make any mistakes. Every cross that came into the box, he headed away, cleared up, was Tanganga. We've now got two games left to enjoy Tanganga because I can't see... in a month for Sundays, him joining us on a permanent. We can all wish and hope. I'm fortunate enough to be going to the end of the season awards next week, so I'll have a word with him to see if I can convince him. But I'm pretty sure the fact we can only offer him a couple of packets of fruit pastels and 20 quid a week means that he won't be joining us next season. But I thought he was excellent today. I thought Fleming put a shift in. I don't think he was particularly effective, but I thought he put a shift in. I thought Saville did what he always does, put a real good shift in. Ryan Leonard, I'm struggling to give him man of the match because I could give it to him every week. So I'm not going to give him man of the match. And then overall, I thought we were okay without being outstanding, to be honest. I thought it was probably Obafemi's most quiet game. You could argue that there's no chance that he's going to be here next season. So do you start to give Bradshaw and Nisbet some minutes in the next couple of games? It's a nice problem to have. How great is it going into the last two games of the season, knowing we don't need to pick up a point? How good is it going to be at Plymouth next week? It's going to be a sellout. Hopefully some nice, decent weather, few beers before and after. It's just going to be fantastic. Like, honestly, if you cast your mind back to when we lost at home to Sheffield Wednesday, and would anyone have honestly thought with two games left, we would be safe? Because I wouldn't. And thank you, Free RJ, for putting the... Birmingham, we have a little celebration. All I've got is bloody still water, so still not drinking. It's difficult. But next Saturday is when I'm allowed to have a beer, so I can't wait for that. So that was my opinion on man of the match. Like I said, I honestly feel Ryan Longman deserved it, and I don't know if that is what everyone else thinks. Please do, actually, put who you thought was man of the match in the chats, if you don't mind. I'd really be good to understand if any of you are with me on Ryan Longman or not. It's just my opinion. That's what football is. And it does appear, ladies and gents, that the final whistle was gone. I'm just checking the table. And we are now officially, mathematically safe. because now there are two teams in Huddersfield and Birmingham that mathematically cannot catch us. We are safe. That is just, it's just absolutely fantastic. The fact that Birmingham have failed to win, do you know what? It serves Gary Rowett right, for starting Ollie Burke today. You should have seen the meltdown that Birmingham fans had when they started Ollie Burke today. Absolutely buzzing. We can have a real celebration next week. Hopefully, you can give more minutes to the likes of SA, Imaku, Maya. Just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The man deserves, well, he deserves a statue. And I'm sure one day he will get one. Any more other notes before I go to maybe some of the comments? It's difficult, gents and ladies, because there was not much to talk about that game. I always seem to pick these games to do it. It's the second live I've ever done. And I pick the ones where there is just, this is nothing to talk about. It was, there really was nothing that really happened in the game. No, I don't think so. It was good to see Hutch back on the pitch. Oh, that was one observation, actually. And this is a talking point, actually. Maybe this can start a bit of a talking point. There was a moment on 70-something minutes where Dan Ballard and Zian Fleming had a bit of argy-bargy. I don't think, as much as I'd have liked Ballard to have been sent off, I don't think it was a sending off, to be honest. But obviously, there was a little bit of a melee that ensued after that. And I don't think Cooper was anywhere to be seen. I want my captain, Saville was, by the way, I want my captain to be in amongst it, pulling players away, in the referee's ear roll. I just want to see that from Cooper. If he's going to be our captain, which I'm assuming Hutch leaves in the summer, if Cooper's going to be captain, for me personally, I don't think he should be. But if he is going to be, he needs to do some of those things more for me. Do we bring someone else in that has leadership qualities? I think we could do with it. Saville is the obvious choice, but he has come out on an interview. I think it was a Wall Talk interview, actually, that and said that he actually, it's not really his bag. On the pitch, yes, he sees himself as a leader, but all of the stuff you have to do off the pitch, he doesn't really see that as his strength. So, actually, although we all want Saville, maybe he isn't the right person. I don't know. But it'd be interesting to see what you think. That was my only kind of talking point. What I'll do now is just go to some of the comments and we can go through some of those. So, Chris Brown, evening, mate. Hope you are well. Chris Brown says, let's put it on screen. He says, how do you see us going forward next season? I can't see us pushing forward the players we are losing and the way the club is running the budget. Can we improve and not be in a relegation battle? Chris, that is a super question. And I think if I had the answer to that, I'd probably be the Millwall manager, to be honest, mate. My honest opinion is it's going to be very, very difficult to move forward at a club forward as a club in the summer. Given what we learned about the books recently, in terms of the amount of money we've lost, given that the standard of the league always goes up every single year, the players that I think, let's be honest, I think we're going to have to sell either Fleming or SA, maybe both. We're going to have to sell one of them, I think, to balance the books. And that's before we even start to improve. You know, the likes of Tanganga and Obafemi will go back. Norton Cuffey will go back. There are players such as Campbell that will go back. There are players like Harding and Hutch that.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. there's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But you'd think we'll move on. It's going to be very, very difficult in one transfer window to sort all of that out and move forwards. My only challenge is, honestly, I feel that if we don't get this summer's recruitment right, by staying up this season, we're just delaying the inevitable. And I think that's the point you're trying to make there, Chris. I think what we need to do is to not try and drastically evolve our footballing style like that, like we tried to with Joe Edwards, because I think we all saw what happened there. But then the fans need to understand that. Because on one hand, you can't have... You know, you can't guarantee safety in the Championship with a group of players that know how to do that playing one way and then completely change that style without having a whole new squad. It's almost impossible. And that is why, ultimately, that experiment almost cost us our Championship status this season. And if it wasn't for Neil Harris and the way the players have bounced back, I think it certainly would have done. So, Chris, I guess to summarise on your question, I honestly feel it is the most challenging summer I can remember. And I honestly think if we don't get it right, we are unfortunately going to be in a relegation battle again next season. But I think it's an opportunity for us to gradually evolve our playing style, reduce the age of the squad, and hopefully, whilst keeping that Millwall type style that Harris likes, just gradually evolve it. And I do think we've seen glimpses of it. I do. I think anyone who hasn't said some of the football's been pretty good at home, I think it has been. Games like today, who really cares? You know, I'm sure it was all just about getting a result, and we absolutely got that. So, but thank you, Chris, for your question. And also thank you always for listening. Appreciate it, mate. Dave says here, we need at least 7 players if we're in to improve next season. Dave, I agree. I completely agree. Going to do a show on this in the summer in terms of what I think we need. And also, just quickly, guys, to just plug this, I'm going to do a kind of like a roundtable show with a few of the listeners. So if you are interested in jumping on that, drop me a message on Twitter. It's in the thing. It's just Chat with Chaps. Just drop me a message on Twitter. We can get a few of you on, and we'll just have a bit of a debate on how we think the season was, what we need for next season, that kind of thing. But agree, Dave. I think we need at least 7 players. I think we need a goalkeeper. We'll need at least 1 centre-back. We've got Alex Mitchell coming back probably, but we'll need at least 1 because Hutch, I think, will go and Tanganga will go. We'll need... probably some more wide players because they'll go. We definitely need a striker. I don't want to rely on Bradshaw again. So, yeah, we'll need quite a few players just to probably stay level. This is the challenge, right, Dave? But listen, it's nice to have that challenge in the Championship than it is to have it in League One. So, thank you, Dave. The Peckham Poet, I disagree. I see us being hard to beat at home next season. I think we'll hand our own under Harris. It needs more time than 18 months to change the squad. Peckham Poet, I agree with you. I think that you can't change a squad in one transfer window. And I guess the question is, do the club trust him to be the person that oversees that change? In terms of knowing his style of football and the brand that he plays. And that's the dilemma that Millwall, the board are going to have. For me personally, I'll state this clearly. I think it's right that he's in charge next season. What I want to see, though, is I want to see another coach come into the club. I want to see more of a Joe Edwards style coach, and not Joe Edwards, a Joe Edwards style coach in the sense that they are more forward thinking, know how to create more attacking patterns of play, just a more technically footballing coach, but someone who has got experience with working with players at the level we're at. Because I think one of the problems that Joe Edwards had, he was used to working with Chelsea players, Everton players, England 20 players that probably got more technical ability in their little finger than some of our lads have. And that was the problem. And that's why he was just asking us to do things that we couldn't do. I have no doubt that in the right role, Joe Edwards will be a success. But I think we need another coach to help Harris evolve his playing style. I trust Harris implicitly with looking after the club and doing the right thing for the club when it comes to the right players and things like that. And I also agree, Peck and Poet, that we've proven it, and I think we'll continue to be very hard to beat at home next season, no matter who's there. And I think that is something that we'll need to, again, build on next season. So, listen, it's going to be a good league next year. You know, you've got, Pompey away. What an away day that'll be. That'll be a really good away day. Sheffield United look like they're coming down. They're a yo-yo side. Burnley won today, maybe, you know, giving themselves an outside chance, but we'll definitely have two of Burnley, Forest, Everton and Luton. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting league next season. True Blue says, you can't argue with what Harris has done, but the style of football needs to change. Other teams are capable of putting in a shift and playing good football. There needs to be a massive overhaul. True Blue, agree. I just think that we need to be realistic. A massive overhaul is needed. And if we could go out tomorrow and sign 10 players and get rid of 10 players, and all those 10 players were going to put in the same shift that this lot do and be better on the ball, I think we'd do it. But I just think we need to be realistic, and that's just not going to happen. I think gradually it will, and that's what the club need to do. You know, rather than, you know, if you go from styles of playing, you know, Rowett was here and Edwards was here, the club tried to go like that too quickly. You know, I'd say Harry, if Edwards was, let me start again. If Rowett's here and Edwards is here, we tried to go to complete change of style too quickly. However, Harris is probably, again, much more similar to Rowett, but gradually we can start to evolve some of this with the new coach that I just mentioned and bringing in players that, to your point, True Blue, that are not just about putting in a shift, but actually you've got some ability too. And I think that's exactly where we need to go. I just think it's going to take a little bit longer than just the summer. True Blue also says, Cooper is not captain material. If Saville doesn't want it, bring in somebody else. Cooper needs to be moved on. So agree with you that Cooper is not captain material. And personally, I would like to bring in I think we need someone with leadership qualities, because I believe that if Hutch goes, that's a big gap. You know, he's our club captain. There's a big gap. So I think we need to bring someone in. It's a real shame that we didn't manage to get Lewis Travers over the line. I believe we were interested. He ended up going to, I think it was Ipswich, I believe, and he's hardly featured, but he was Blackburn's captain. He's a real good kind of leadership, mentality sort of player that would have been good and a good fit for us, I think. But that ship's probably sailed. But I would like to bring in someone that maybe, whether you give him the armband or you give him the vice captain, right, I don't know. But I think we do need to recruit for some specific qualities next season, and leadership's definitely one of them. In terms of who else you could give it to, well, Rosalind and Chris Brown both have an answer to that. So Rosalind says Honeyman would make a good captain. And then Chris Brown says my shout would be Honeyman. What do I think about that? I'm not against it. I still don't think he'd be my pick, and I'm trying to think of why. I think it's his position. I know I sound really random, but to me, a captain, especially a Millwall captain, is a centre-back or a centre-midfielder. And Honeyman seems to play under Harris more on the right-hand side or the left-hand side. But I was on BBC Newcastle yesterday, and I was talking to a couple of, I don't know, there was an ex-Martin Smith or something, an ex-Sunderland player. And they asked me about George Honeyman and, you know, said, what did I think of him? And I just said that I felt he was almost like the perfect Millwall player, because he, even when under Edwards, I felt some of the players weren't giving everything. Honeyman definitely was. He was a super, super, super player in terms of his effort levels, his commitment, his versatility. But I also think that he's also not the best technical footballer. So that's why he's almost like a perfect middle player in that sense, because we're never going to be outside the best technical footballers. But players that will leave everything out on the pitch is exactly what we need. And I felt Honeyman does that. So it's interesting because they said that Sunderland fans will say the exact same. So George Honeyman could be a candidate. But then Chris makes a really good point here. Honeyman gives the ball away too much. I'm not sure if he'll be a starter next season. So I think this is a balance, right? Because I think every team needs honest, hardworking professionals like George Honeyman. I think when you take him out of the side, particularly at home, you realise what you miss from a defensive solidarity and a shape perspective. However, if we want to evolve our style of football moving forwards, when I say moving forwards, I mean that in two ways, moving forwards in terms of for next season and then moving forwards in terms of attacking play, then yes, we do need to look at bringing in someone that maybe is a bit more attack-minded than George Honeyman. So that's a kind of balance. Tom makes a really interesting point here. If Fleming's at the club next season, he'd be a candidate for captain too. I agree with you. And obviously, it's a big if, I think, unfortunately for us, because, as I said earlier, I think we're going to have to sell someone to balance the books, and it could end up well being Zian Fleming. I'm pretty sure if Burnley come down, they're going to surely be sniffing around again. It was no secret that they were very interested in him. It's interesting because I sponsored Watmore last season. I didn't sponsor Watmore. I sponsored a Phoebe, but he left. But I sponsored Watmore. And at that event, I had a quick couple of minute chat with Gary Rowett. I'm not going to pretend we're best mates because we're not. But I had a couple of minute chat with Gary Rowett. And we were talking about Zian Fleming. And he said that the levels that he leads by example in terms of his professionalism, and he is just like a natural leader. So it was interesting that Rowett said that. So, you know, not a bad shout for someone like Zian Fleming to be captain next season. Maybe under a different manager, I could see it happening. I'm just not sure he's a Harris captain. I could be wrong. I don't know. I really don't know. So we'll see. Chris Brown, you sponsored a phobia. What was you thinking? So, Chris, in my defence, a phobia, in his first season with us, he actually looked quite good. And then he signed permanently in the summer. And he was my old man's favourite player. So I always said one day, because obviously you get to go and meet the player and all that stuff, I'd do that for my old man. So I sponsored a phobia. And he always come across like a really likeable chap, to be fair, didn't he? And then what happened was, is obviously he left. And then they rung me up and was like, look, you can have one of the January transfer signings. And it was either Duncan Watmore or Ollie Burke. So say no more. Dan Riggs says, only just started to watch this. Hello, Dan. Getting Wall party time next Saturday against Plymouth. 100%, mate. Absolute party time. How great would the atmosphere be knowing that we don't need anything? They do, by the way. You know, they lost, I think, 3-0. At Stoke today. So they probably do need to pick some points up, particularly with QPR winning. Although, obviously, with Birmingham and Huddersfield, Birmingham only got points today, Huddersfield not getting any. Maybe it's those two that go down. I would love Birmingham to go down. I think actually our fan base in terms of the what we represent and what we stand for, we're quite similar. However, the way in which they've got all these big plans and the way they've reacted with Rooney and all that kind of stuff, I would just love Birmingham to go down. You know, this big 50,000 all-seater stadium in 2029 sitting in League One. How funny would that be? True Blue says, Bald were wrong to encourage the overnight change of style without the players capable of doing it. We need to blood some of our youth. 100% agree, True Blue. I think that is exactly what happened. They took a risk. They took a gamble. It could have paid off. It certainly didn't. I think after Sheffield Wednesday away, we all thought it had paid off. It didn't. It come close to costing us massively. They owe Harris a lot for keeping us in this league. And then over the course of the summer, we need to keep a core because you don't want to change everything. I think you try and change everything, it can go very badly wrong. That's why I don't mind the likes of Saville, Bradshaw and Leonard being given new contracts. I think Leonard was a no-brainer. But, you know, I don't want John Bradshaw to be our starting number nine next season. But do I mind him being there in the squad? Not at all. Not at all. But if we can keep a solid core, keep bring in some of our younger players, whether we can, you know, whether that's SA, Maya, Mitchell, Emaku, there is a nice little core there. Plus, there's some of the lads, obviously, other lads that have been out on loan. You know, Adam Malachi, Nana Boateng, Chinakoli, are these players ready to step up or not? I guess time will tell. And then start to bring in and recruit, to your earlier point there, or was it Peckham Poet, sorry, players that still put the shift in that we like to see, but at the same time, can play a bit too. Couple of comments here on Rowett. So 3RJS says, yes, we all hate Birmingham for 72 and 02, but we don't all hate Rowett. I don't hate Rowett, to be honest. I think he did a lot for our club. I think he was a smarmy git at times. But I also think we'd be a lot worse off over the course of the last 3 or 4 years if it wasn't for Gary Rowett. So I don't hate him. Would it be funny to see him relegated? Yeah, of course it would. I'd say that to any ex-manager. So, yeah, the 0-2 game, remember it well. I would have been 12, but I do remember it well. I think that was my first experience of that kind of atmosphere. Certainly don't remember the 72 one though. I'm sure my dad was there. Peckham Poet says, be interesting to see Harris versus Rowett next season on the touchline. It would. Cool. What a battle of styles that would be, eh? Jesus. Although I have to say, I feel towards the end of Rowett's tenure, I think the footwork on Harris has been better. I think when Rowett first came in, I remember us playing like triangles, like, and Cooper overlapping our left back and all sorts. So I remember I was like, what is going on here? But it did sort of sour towards the end of his reign. And I actually think some of the stuff that Harris has played, not today, of course not today, but some of the stuff at home hasn't been too bad. So yeah, maybe it would be interesting to see next season Harris versus Rowett. I'm going to do a couple more, ladies and gents, and I better jump off. Chris Brown says, Malachi and Alex Mitchell must be in the squad next season. 100%, Chris. Hopefully Malachi is developing well at Sutton. I'm sure it's Sutton. Obviously scored a goal a couple of weeks back. And Alex Mitchell has been having rave reviews at Lincoln. I think Alex Mitchell, though, is now probably in a place of, why would I come back to Millwall and be a squad player when I can stay at Lincoln and be a first teamer? So if I'm Alex Mitchell, what do I do? I would like to see Mitchell come into our and in back into the side. Sorry, back into the club and compete for a first 11 position, especially as I think the only natural centre back they will be competing against is Jake Cooper. So we definitely need to invest there. 3RJ says, great manager, 4 top-up finishes, Max. Facts matter, not opinions. Agree. King Gary will always hold a place in my heart. I'm joking, but no, you can't argue with his record. You really can't. And personally, I thank him for what he did for the club. Right. VH says, look what Harris does. We were all down on Sarkic, Longman, Danny, Cooper, Tango, Billy, Obafemi. He has made them the players they are. Also goes on to say, if Carls had made Millwall backline, Rotherham goalkeeper, Tango and Cresswell. Well, yes, don't disagree with that at all. He is an outstanding goalkeeper, Victor Johansson, and I think he'll be certainly back in the Championship next season with a release clause he has of around £1 million, or in the Premier League. Wouldn't surprise me at all if someone took a gamble. Tango and Cresswell, I think we probably got more chance of Ollie Burke playing in the Premier League again than us re-signing both Tango and Cresswell. However, I think we can hope maybe for one. Who knows? I think Cresswell is probably more likely given the funds that Tango would take up. And then Alan Jones says, Neil Harris is a messiah. If Joe Edwards was still in charge, we would have definitely got relegated. Agree. Alan, agree. I don't necessarily blame Joe Edwards. because I think he was just trying to do the brief that he was given, which was to evolve the playing style. But you can't do that without any investment and so quickly. And we were on a hide into nothing. And factually, if Joe Edwards, he was averaging 0.84 points per game. If that had continued to end the season, we would have gone down. So I completely agree. Neil Harris has got over 1.8 points per game. Man needs a statue. Last comment then. Billy Solux. Love that. Sadly, while Cav and Aldo are pulling the strings, there'll be no major investment in the squad. It'll be more of the same. Crocs, loanies, players getting towards the end of their careers. Look, I think based on... based on recent recruitment, I think it's very difficult to argue against that. However, what I would say is my understanding that is when Gary Rowett was here, although Aldo's responsibility would be to identify the players and ultimately sign them, they all went through Gary. So this will be the first time, because Edwards had January and he signed a couple of decent loan signings, which actually I think has helped keep us in the league. Especially now as they've got fit and we've got them fit to go back to someone else. But anyway, that's another point. So this is the first, this will be the first recruitment window where you can look at it and say, you know, what else could we do? So it'd be really interesting to see what happens with Harris, Aldo and Kavanagh. I am going to do a more detailed show on my overall opinion of the club top to bottom. So maybe I'll save some of my views just for that. Thank you very much, V. Much appreciated. I'm gonna close it there. Can I just say that I've at the moment there's 400 people watching this live, which is absolutely bonkers. So can I just say thank you all so much for listening throughout the whole season, not just today. I really, really appreciate it. I appreciate all the comments. And there's some really exciting things coming for next season as well, which we'll talk more about. Please do let me know if you want to be involved in the little fans. What's it called? Well, I've lost my words here. I'm going to do like a little round table with some fans. So please do let me know if you're interested in that. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We're safe. I'll see you down the Den next Saturday for a few beers. I'm off to Peter Kay. I'll let you know what it's like. See if he's still funny now he's not as fat. And enjoy the rest of your evening. Thanks very much, guys. Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.